So as the email said yesterday, happy Father's Day to all those. And I think fathers on the screen and in the room represent a good number of children who have grown up and some
yes.
grandchildren as well. So
great.
That's great. So after Pentecost a few weeks ago, we looked at the passage in Ephesians that was talking about us being a recreated people. That's what salvation did to us. And then last week, we looked at being Pentecost people. That, you know, kind of used that expression that the Holy Spirit had Pentecosted to us and recreated us into a new dimension of people, more than we ever were before. And so today I want us to look at this idea that we are also a beloved people. And beloved or beloved is not a word we use much anymore. It's kind of an old-fashioned kind of word. But I think it kind of refers to what parents feel toward their little children. They still need help. They still need provision. They still need protection. And so their every move is cared for, and it matters to them. And they're amply provided for in ways that they don't even know they're provided for. It just happens for them. And that's what God looks at us. And I think he realizes that we need a lot of help, more help than we are aware of. And so he treats us like little children, and he makes sure that everything we need, so that we're never in a situation where we are in want, or at least not for long, because we come running. You know, I think that's what God does as well. And he provides for us so that we know that we are beloved or beloved,
yes,
super well cared for. And whenever there is a need, that need is provided. And so that's what I want to look at this morning. So my paragraph that I've written here to show us this and to move us into this Ephesians 6 passage this morning: in a magnanimous show of eternal love, Jesus came to live amongst us. He chose to die in our place. He rose from the grave to share resurrection life with us. He sent his Spirit to be our helper in more ways than we can imagine. He equips us with his joy, his peace, his presence, his promises. He gifts us with an abundance of provision, staggering in all attempts to quantify. He stands us up in our weakness and guarantees our arrival at holiness, his gift proving we are his beloved people. And Paul writes, "I'm fully convinced that the one who began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, in our Christian walk on this journey to the Father's heart, it's easy to think we're doing work. We're the ones who are pushing forward. We're the ones who have to strive. We're the ones who have to do all this work. But from God's perspective, he's the one who's doing it all. He drew us. He recreated us. He provided Pentecost for us and continues to provide all of the gifts and provisions of Pentecost on this way to his heart. And so this verse out of Philippians chapter 1 that I just read there, it's a glorious work that he began. He's doing this work in us. And so, and he's going to faithfully continue the process and putting finishing touches to the work. We're the work. You know, there's another passage that says, we are God's workmanship. And so, in some ways, I guess we could look at it and say, we have work to do and we have growing to do. But in several of these passages, it really makes it sound like God is doing all the work. It's his choosing. He's doing it. He's bringing us to maturity. He's going to make sure that we come all the way through to maturity and holiness because it's his work. And all of that is what you do as, I think, as parents do with little children. They make sure everything is provided for, and they make sure they're where they need to be, and they're dressed and all fed and all these things. So in Ephesians 6, the verses 10 through 18, this is the passage, of course, that contains the armor that we're to put on. But instead of spending all of our time looking at the armor, I want to look at this passage altogether, because I think the verses that lead into Paul talking about the armor, there are other things that kind of get eclipsed. You know, when we focus on just the armor, we miss some of the things that Paul really wants to communicate. So let's read this. And this is out of the Passion again, from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Paul says, you know, he's finishing up his letter here to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you'll be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion against the heavenly realms. For they're a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows that come at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers." So the armor, and we don't want to just overlook it, but at the same time, I want to kind of look at the way Paul leads into this. He's getting ready to wrap up this letter. These are his final thoughts with all that he said before in the other chapters. And then he closes up right after that with his last greetings and all of those things, his personal things that he wants to communicate. But let's look back at verse 10, and the blank in the number one is strength supernaturally infused, as they say it here in the Passion. Strength supernaturally infused. So it isn't like we have to be the bodybuilders. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go to a spiritual gym to get this. God infuses us with strength. But as he says here, be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. And so it's our understanding that we are in Jesus. We live an in Christ life. And as we kind of swim in that water, even as we kind of understand that this is how our life is now, that's when we recognize that we are supernaturally infused with strength. It's his strength in us. And there are several verses, of course, throughout scripture that talks about that. You know, Paul was asking for that thorn, whatever his thorn was, to be removed, and God said, you know, it's in your weakness, and so that he is strong. And so there's this backwards thing. Sometimes I think we have an idea that it's our work, it's our job. And yet here's this turning it around. And it's as we consider our life union, as we recognize that Jesus is at work in us, as we recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in us, that's when we're supernaturally infused with strength. And so then he says, stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. And so I think this idea of being infused with this kind of power, and it's spiritual, so we can think, well, who am I? I don't feel very strong in anything. I don't really know if I can really overcome anything. But it's the power that is infused in us from God that makes us strong, that makes us capable of standing victorious. And, you know, I just love the way he brings this out and calls it explosive power working in and through you. So people of no account, no name, not really feeling all that great or powerful or whatever, they're the ones, as long as we're not counting on our own strength, that's when we get this explosive power working through us. And so often, as we pray with people, and whether we're praying for healing or for salvation or whatever aspect of prayer we're in, we're always surprised. You know, it's like, it worked. It happened. The healing, we watch it happen and we're surprised. It's like, How did that? And then we realize, it wasn't me. I know it wasn't me. I know it didn't come from me. I can't do this. And so it's surprising to us how God loves to channel his power through us as we are life infused. We're in that life union with him. And that's where his strength is placed in us. And we only see it, I think, as a result of what just happened. We don't, you know, people come to the Lord, people want to be baptized, people's lives are changed. And we, as we see this happening and whole lives are turned around, we recognize that the source of this salvation experience, the healing, whatever it is, didn't come from us. And so as we think about it, that's when we turn our thoughts back to him and realize, God has done this. God is working something in and through me that I'm not capable of doing. Yeah. And it's really, really exciting. And sometimes it's really explosive, I think, when you see people really touched by the Holy Spirit and you see the work that's going on there, it is really a powerful thing. So just to, as we move into this passage on the armor, we're realizing that we are infused with supernatural strength. He does that. He puts it in there, and he makes it operative. In verse 11, the blank in number 2 there is complete set of armor provided. We don't work it up. We don't go shopping for it. We don't have to figure out how to get it on. It's all provided. So, you know, we just walk into this thing and it's all of a sudden we become these spiritual celebrities somehow, and God does it all. He just does this. He provides it all for us. And so verse 11 again, he says, put on God's complete set of armor provided for us. I love that Paul includes himself, provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. And so the reality, and we often refer to it as spiritual warfare, the reality is, as we are infused with God's power, as we walk in life union with Jesus, we will discover that we are kind of in some way swimming upstream. There will be accusations. There will be forces against us because the evil one, as he calls him, the accuser, doesn't want this to happen. And so he will fight against the direction of our lives as we follow Jesus, as we find ourselves in life union with him. So that's why Paul says kind of this hand-to-hand combat that he's going to talk about is unavoidable. We are going to do this in our spiritual lives because now we are, in fact, fighting against the enemy's plans. And so we are going to have these these attacks, we're going to have them come at us. And so make sure that you put on the complete set of armor that's been provided. And I often think of that passage when King Saul wanted David to put on the armor to go out and fight Goliath. And here's this little scrawny little teenager, and he's putting on this huge adult man's armor. And he's like, I can't even move in this stuff. Like, you know, it's too heavy. It's too awkward. I'll never be able to do anything. And, you know, or sometimes you see, well, for those of us who lived in climates where there was actually winter, in the wintertime, we'd get so stacked up with winter clothes and snow suits and scarves and all the rest of the stuff. And we, as little kids, we'd go out and we just fall over backwards because it's so awkward. You just kind of fall in. I think that's where the snow angel thing came from. It was really just a desperate attempt to get out of the snow. But anyway, then it became a thing. So this armor, God sets it up for us and provides it for us that's perfect for us. And it's not, you know, it isn't truly these pieces of armor that he's talking about, but he's using the example later on because that's what they would understand. These are pieces of armor that would certainly be understood in their day. So it's provided for us, the strength is provided, the armor is provided because the hand-to-hand combat is coming. And then verse 13, as he continues here, talking about hand-to-hand combat, it is not with human beings. You know, I'm sensing more and more, maybe not more and more, but it feels like it, that our emotions, our eyes, our hearts are drawn towards fighting against people, fighting against what these people are doing. And so we, whether it's political or social or on whatever level it is, we get distracted, I think, by a person, by a name, and we hate that person, or we fight against that person, and all our energies fight toward a person. And I think the more we do that, the enemy's sitting in the background going, well, this is great. As long as they keep thinking that's where the source is, I can still do my work behind the scenes because they're focused on whoever it is that they don't like. So I think it's important for us to see that. He said, our combat is not with human beings. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, as other passages say, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion against the heavenly realms. They are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Now, that's not surprising. We sort of know that. But I think newspaper headlines and all the social media platforms really give us opportunities to place a name or some other thing, which is not the source, which is not where it's coming from. But if we recognize that we have a spiritual warfare that is not seen with the physical eyes, like Paul is saying against us, we are going to be able to pray. And as we pray, I think God will lead us to what the power is, where to pray, but not against, you know, not developing hatred and a whole style of warfare against a person or a group of people, but recognizing that this is not individuals or a group of individuals. This is a spiritual war that we're fighting. And so we need to kind of, if we could just remove the faces and the names of these people that we think are so horrible and just continue to pray against the powers that are pushing different agendas, we would be closer to the truth. So the blanket number three is victory in combat is guaranteed. As he finishes up, you're destined in all things and you will rise victorious. So God's plan for us is that we'll be infused with strength. We have this armor and everything that we face as we go through life, we are going to be victorious in this because it's God's plan. He wants his people to be victorious and he provides us with everything we need so that the victory can be sure. And of course, we're going to be in battles and in situations where it doesn't feel like we're going to even survive, much less be victorious. But the promise is for God's people, he has provided everything we need for life and godliness and for victory, I think is not too much of a stretch there. So these things are great. And then when he goes on to the armor, six things that he identifies. And so looking at the armor, here are the six things to fill in as blanks. First of all, the armor is truth. And I think anyone that is aware of anything that's going on in the world, truth is probably the thing that is being attacked the most. I mean, like, what is truth? I mean, it's getting redefined over and over and over and over again. And the second thing is holiness. Holiness is part of our armor. It's part of what God provides. It is protection for us. We don't go toward the unholy. And so true holiness. The third thing is faith that he talks about. Our faith is also a strengthening piece of armor that God provides for us. Fourth is our salvation. And our salvation, I think, is so amazing because it always reminds us we didn't do anything to get into this. This was all God's work. He came looking for us when we were at our worst. You know, scripture says, you know, when we were still dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. So our salvation is all the work of God. It's this magnanimous show of eternal love, as I call it. The fifth thing is the word of God, obviously. God has provided his word for us through his Holy Spirit working. It is always a strength. If we're looking for direction, we want to make sure that everything we do, everything we say, lines up with the word of God. But of course, the word of God has been largely sidelined in many arenas, and so that is not a popular thing anymore. And probably the least popular of all is the sixth thing, prayer. Now, prayer used to be a very powerful thing, highly lifted up and greatly respected. But in so many areas anymore, prayer is not only not respected, not lifted up, but you could get almost arrested for praying in certain places. And so here are the strengths, the tools that God has given us: truth, holiness, faith, salvation, the word of God, and prayer, as part of what Paul is referring to here as the armor. Make sure that we have these six things in place that we're focusing on, and they are the things that will help us to be victorious in this combat, not be taken out, not be sidelined, not be put in a situation of compromise where the enemy can just get a hold of us. And, you know, we leave that door open and the enemy is able to rush in. So I think, you know, it's amazing to me, and maybe it's just because I'm so old, but the idea that truth, just regular truth, is under such combat these days. And, you know, now it's not just the truth, it's your truth and my truth and our truth. And, you know, whatever your truth doesn't impact my truth. And it's like, it's such a slippery slope. Like, what are we talking about here? But God provides us truth. And he provides us the opportunity. Us, can you imagine this? He provides us the opportunity to grow into holiness. That's an incredible thing to me, that is something that God makes available to us as weak human beings with all our tendencies to want our own way and to do our own thing and to have little hissy fits every once in a while. And he's chosen us to become holy. And in another passage, you know, Paul will talk about us being the bride of Christ and to be dressed in pure white, pure linen. And that's just an amazing passage that God would do that to us. And then our faith. Faith is that muscle that grows as we continue on and celebrate our salvation, celebrate this work that Christ has done for us. Our only way of even being involved in this amazing journey to the Father's heart is because of our salvation. And then having the Word of God available to us through all the extremely hard work of these translators to pull together and to make it understandable for us as we go and as we live, as we face challenges, and God makes it available to us. It's available right there for us in so many ways in our day. And so when we think of the translators who are still working to bring the scriptures to a people that have never heard the Word of God, have never seen a copy of the Word of God in their language, it's really an incredible thing. I mentioned, I think probably a couple of years ago at one time, that we had seen, Sue and I watched a video where a plane was flying in and hundreds of people were gathered by the airfield I think it was in Africa. And the plane was coming in with a whole shipment of Bibles, the first time these people had ever seen them. And so as they come in and they open it up, and the leader of these people got the first copy of the Word, I mean, he almost fell on his feet. He was so thrilled that they actually had a copy of the Word of God, which they've been hearing about, but they actually had this copy in their language. And it just made me realize, you know, how many copies of the Bible do I have on my shelves? How many translations do we have available to us in English? And you realize, boy, you take it for granted sometimes. But here was this people, and the shouting and the dancing as they were handing out these copies of the Bible were just like, they were like little children. They just could hardly contain themselves. And so we want to make sure that we don't forget, you know, and leave the Bible on the shelf gathering dust. But this is a precious gift to us as part of the armor. And then, of course, prayer. This glorious waste of time, as G.K. Chesterton called it. And, you know, just this idea of talking and being able to hear from God. So there's the armor, and we've talked about it, and he's used all these different pieces of actual armor. But the idea that we come to this infused with strength and provided this set of armor, guaranteed victory. You know, if we went into something knowing that we were going to win, that would just give us so much more confidence. I can do this because I know it might be hard, but I'm going to win. Or I can do this and I'm not going to die, you know, for some of us who are afraid of those things. So we're a beloved people. We are so provided for. And not just in little ways, but in huge ways and in the long term. So where God is taking us is to total victory, to shouting victory. And for some of us, the shouting and the dancing doesn't come as, you know, we're a little bit too reserved maybe to do some of those things. And some of us are getting to an age, of course, where shouting and dancing might be a little dangerous, but this is what God has for us. This is his plan for us. This is what he has. And so I'd like us to be able to share together some of the ways that we have experienced this amazing privilege over the years that we've known the Lord. We've walked with him, however feebly. It doesn't, you know, it's not that. But how have we experienced this incredible infusing of strength and this armor that he's provided, and with a knowledge of victory in that. So let me pray for us, and then let's share together some of the ways that we've learned this and some of the things that have popped up as we've been going through this passage. So Father, thank you that this truth is always available and never changes. Thank you that you continue to call us to yourself, and that you provide all of these things and more. You keep calling us. you keep reassuring us. And so for all the years that this group here represents, probably hundreds of years of knowing you, thank you for reminding us again of how you've shown yourself more than enough, how you've shown yourself as the conquering hero, even in our day. So we bless you for this opportunity of sharing together some of the things that have come up in our hearts in these last few moments. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.